Welcome to Township's Daily News Bits.
With Holly Bailey
and Jim Ferrier, bringing you the news and events that matter to townshipers.
Thanks to the Local Journalism Initiative funded by the Government of Canada.
I'm Holly Bailey here on 99.1, and this episode is all about the conservation of Brome Lake. There's a non-for-profit citizen organization entitled Conservation Lac Brome that was established and founded in 2001. It is dedicated to protecting, monitoring, and improving the health of Brome Lake and its watershed. We meet with Don Joyce, a current board member of Conservation Lac Brome, to give us all the information as we gear up for high season on our beautiful, beloved Brome Lake. Mr. Don Joyce, thank you so much for joining us here today on 99.1.
My pleasure. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. So you're a board member of Conservation Lac Brome. How long has that been?
I joined in 2020 during COVID.
Okay.
And have been with them ever since.
Nice. So can I ask why the cause is important to you, or why did you take such a big role in the organization?
So I kayak a lot. And during COVID, I went around the lake 50 times.
Right.
So I got 1,000 kilometers in, and I got to know the lake well, and I got to feel very personal for me. So in August of 2020, I joined the board.
So how many members do you have on the board currently?
We have 12 seats.
Okay.
At the moment, we're kind of in transit because some are leaving, we've been recruiting. So I think we're probably sitting about 6 or 7. Anybody that would be interested in joining the board would be very welcome.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, we'll make sure to give out contact information at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, and do you have a sense of how many members you have at large?
I don't know the exact number. Last I heard, it was somewhere around 275 or 300.
Okay, a viable group.
Yeah.
That's excellent. People, well, it's the bijou, it's the jewel of the town of Brome Lake, and it attracts so many people from outside regions as well.
Yeah.
And it's important to conserve our beautiful space, you know, and it feeds so much of our life here.
Yeah.
So could you tell me what the cornerstones are of the mission for Conservation Lac Brome?
A lot of what we do is testing the water, making sure that we know what the phosphorus levels are. Phosphorus is very important because it can be any kind of fertilizer coming down, or it could have been leftovers from Brome Lake's previous farming, but there's a lot of phosphorus in the water, and when that phosphorus reacts with the sunlight, it drives cyanobacteria, blue-green algae blooms.
Right. Okay.
Blue-green algae is toxic, and it closes.
It shuts it down.
Beach. It prevents all kind of swimming. So phosphorus is one of the things we've been looking at for a year, to the point where we've even followed and taken samples of the various streams to try and pinpoint where it's coming in. For the moment, it looks really stable.
Okay.
We are trying to raise awareness for people who are boating so that they don't stir up sediments at the bottom of the lake.
Right, that have settled and are dormant at that point or inactive.
So for most people, that means if they do have a boat, leaving the dock perpendicular.
Okay.
So not to go along the shoreline, just to go out 150 meters and go on their way. And for people who are either water skiing or doing wakeboarding, particularly for the wakeboards and the wave boats, they need to be out in the center of the lake where there's 7 meters of depth. And so we're sure that they won't disrupt the sediments.
Right.
It's less of an issue with ski boats, as long as they're in a deep enough area that they won't stir it up. But it's not nearly as critical as the wake and wave boats.
Okay. And our lake is notoriously shallow. Like, you could hit rocks, you could hit these sandbars, and you need to know the lake.
Yeah. But out in the center, there's a fairly large area that has got that's quite deep. And so as long as these boats are out there, then I think everybody's happy.
Okay. So you work with a bunch of partners to manage the scientific part and interns and different government groups, I understand?
Well, we go to all of the government groups that we can for funding.
Okay.
And so that happens all the time. But we work with the Ministry of the Environment. I think it's I'm not quite sure.
Yep.
It goes on for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we're trying to get a survey of the current fish population.
Okay.
Just so that we can understand how the fish are doing. Some fishermen have said, oh, we're overfishing this, or we are not catching enough of these musky nongé that are eating all the baby fish. So we're involved in trying to maintain the ecosystem as much as we can as well.
I'm going to come back to the muskies, because that is a concern I'm hearing from residents and people who fish or use the lake, or actually we can jump into it now. I spoke with a member of CLB last year, and they said this study was in the works. Mm-hmm. When can we expect results from that to work with?
We were hoping that they were going to be coming this summer.
Okay.
I think that we're still hopeful, but we may have heard that it could get pushed off to next year. So if that happens, we'd be very disappointed, because a lot of residents are concerned.
Yeah. My parents, I grew up on Brome Lake, full disclosure, so they're residents in Robinson Bay. Mm-hmm. And 10 feet out from the shoreline, my dad's standing on the dock and looks down and sees about a 6-foot long predatory muskie just waiting in hunt. And this is scary.
Yeah.
There's known attacks, like it's a danger for people. There's known attacks that have happened. And I think of people with, God forbid, infants, toddlers, pets, or if you're even just like paddling or swimming, like I don't enjoy the lake with the same leisure as I used to, because it's scary.
Do you hear dump, 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 dump?
Like, I do. I do. I get in, I dip, and I get out. And it's a real threat. And not only to the fish population, we've seen a huge decrease from fishermen that I've spoken with, just one this morning, who's been fishing for 65 years. He's like, you can go now for about 8 hours and get just a couple bites. Yeah. But years ago, you'd put your line in and within seconds, you'd have a bite.
Yeah.
And the perch have been decimated, the sunfish, and my dad's tracking the loons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people are aware of that, but the loons are being targeted by these large fish.
We have heard that as well.
Oh, it's devastating.
Which is why we'd be very happy to get
that information,
the survey done, and then, you know, if that is the case, then we can take action.
Okay.
Right now, it's a lot of rumor, and people saw the bear. So as soon as we get some hard data, that would be great.
I'll show you a picture after of a 5-foot muskie that was caught, because that was back in the 80s, in the 74 and 77, I believe the government had this mandate and was populating muskies in about 80 different waterways in Quebec.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure their motive, but more to be followed up on that. I'd love to have a follow-up.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. So let's move on.
All right.
Okay, lots of great things happening as we move into high season for the lake, as more people will be using it for recreation and such. And there's so many projects you have cooking up. So let's start. The first one, May 16th, you have an AGM.
Yes, that's our annual general meeting.
Okay.
And it's open to all members.
Okay.
If you're not a member now, you can become a member. The only caveat is, if you do want to join the board, you have to be a member for more than 30 days. So I don't know if that will work out for some of the people that are just hearing this now, but we'll never turn anyone away.
Brilliant.
And we have in the past had people who were acting members awaiting the next year's AGM when they could be formally brought on. But if they join as acting members, they have all of the
access.
All of the rights and access.
Okay, wonderful. So people have to sign up for the AGM?
We do have, we do request a registration. If you go to our website, there's a button just to give us an idea of
numbers,
how much coffee and fruit to buy.
Brilliant. Okay, good to know. Okay, and then June 20th, this is exceptional.
Yes.
A quarter of a century. Yeah. 25-year anniversary. What's in the works for that?
So we're doing this at the hotel at Quilliams, so Hotel Hotel Lac Brome. It's the one at Quilliams, and we have a real affinity with that hotel just because it's right on Quilliams. And last year we put our paddling trail live. So if you have a smartphone and you download our application, as you paddle Quilliams, you will get information capsules that are launched by GPS. So as you approach the beaver hut, it will say beep, and then you can either listen to, if you're in English, Louise Penny graciously recorded all of the English sections.
Okay.
And Raymond Cloutier did all of the French ones. Raymond helps Louise with her books because he does the French reading of her books. So it all worked out really well.
That's a very interactive, cool way of engaging people. And this is the Quilliams, the reserve near Tiffany Beach.
So it starts right at the hotel. And the information tour lasts about 2 kilometers, but you can go another kilometer and a half up. But it's less ecologically important. It's a winding river through farmland, which is beautiful. But there's so much diversity from the lake up until the bike path.
So what could people expect to see for wildlife or fauna?
Birds, turtles. People last year were happy to see the beavers. Not so happy when the beavers slapped their tail and scared them.
You're in my domain.
Exactly. Wow. So I'd be surprised if you didn't see turtles. There's lots and lots of different birds. I was up a few weeks ago and there's a little bit. The geese and the ducks are all there, and they will let you know as you go by. But depending when you go in the year, they may have already hatched and be on the
right. Way. They can be aggressive, so stay in your boat.
Yes.
Yeah, respect. Yeah. Nice. So the 25th anniversary, that's coming up June 20th.
Yeah, so it's basically an invitation for members and community members to come and spend some time with the board, with other volunteers. You know, it'll be hors d'oeuvres and whatnot. I'm trying to find people who will take guests out in the pontoon boats.
Ooh, sign me up.
And then we're also looking at what we can do about a lower rate for the kayaks that are rented there for people who wanted to paddle up Quilliams.
Okay. Those are some great initiatives.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, that's open to community members and or active members and constant recruiting is going.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You're listening to the Township's Daily News Bits with myself, Holly Bailey, and guest Don Joyce of the Brome Lake Conservation Organization entitled Conservation Lac Brome. We get into some new deep territorium waters with the latest mission on the radar of the organization. Let's get right into it.
Okay, well, let's get into the deep dive.
Okay.
Speaking with you previously, this is an exciting venture. So July 11th, I believe it is. Take us there.
So for the fifth year, divers from an organization out of Shawinigan called Faisons Notre Pas are coming to help us clean up the lake.
Okay.
The first year that they came, their cleanup was around Camping des Érables.
Mm-hmm.
The second year they came back, we did in front of Douglas Beach and the boat club. The next year we did over by Bonneville, and last year we did around 400 Lakeside along Fisher Point and past the beach at 400 Lakeside. This year, the good news is we cleaned up a lot. The rest of the lake, those were really the hot spots for where we thought there would be garbage, and from what we can tell as we're out on the lake, it is. We were lucky enough to have the town give us an underwater map of the lake where we can identify objects that are under there. For now, most of them seem to be docks.
Okay. Lost docks?
Docks. Or perhaps Deadhead. But there are, I think there's close to 500 items under there. So we're going through to try and identify which ones would be the most likely candidates for salvage.
Okay. And what have you found to date in all this excavation, this work you've been doing?
Oh, previous years, because we were close to shore and close to where people would have done ice fishing, we found a tremendous amount of little brown beer bottles. We found golf balls. We found lawn chairs, tires, block of a motor of an engine that someone decided it would be a great anchor. So we found all kinds of different things.
Oh my, there's all kinds, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You just never know. But in years past, people used to use the waterways and rivers and as their you know, non-seen junk piles.
Yeah.
But
The lake, we found less tires. Back about 5 or 6 years ago, we cleaned up Colebrook Stream.
Okay, yeah.
And that the first time we did, we pulled out 21 tires.
Oh my. Wow.
Yeah.
I hope people are becoming more conscious and realize that's water you're going to be drinking.
Yeah.
That's what you shower in and wash your dishes with.
Yeah.
So kind of we're part of the system.
And yeah.
Yeah, it would make sense. Okay, so this deep dive is happening.
Uh-huh.
And I understand you have an intern this summer who's doing a preliminary search.
Well, we want to make sure that when they come, they're very productive.
Okay.
And so we're going to be going through the map and trying to identify where we want to dive.
Okay.
Last year, some of the divers brought back this story that they'd off of 400 Lakeside that they saw something that looked like it could have been an old train carriage.
Wow.
We don't know. It made a great story, but we're going to go back and check that. So what the hope is that with the intern, we'll be able to identify some spots and then go and check it out in advance to make sure that the divers are doing the most productive work they can while they're here with us.
And it's my understanding there's no charge. They're volunteers.
Yes, they're volunteers.
That's incredible.
No, and they're great. And they've this is their fifth year coming back. We try and take good care of them when they're here.
Absolutely,
they're very precious, but they're really nice people.
What a service!
Yeah.
And my understanding is you need or would like volunteers to help with the transport or retrieval.
Well,
is
we're looking for people that could help us with larger boats or pontoon boats. To get the divers out to the dive sites.
Okay.
Our objective will be to attach floats underwater, fill the bags with air, raise it, and then pull it to shore when it can be taken away.
Okay, tugboat action.
Yeah, so no garbage will be brought on to any of the volunteers' boats. We'll be tugging everything once it's suspended in the air.
And do you need some non-motorized watercraft as well?
In the past, that's where we've been focusing because when we have divers in the water, we want all the motorboats that are around to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the past, what we've done is we would assign a kayak to go with each group, each pair of divers,
okay,
to stay above them so that they were safe from motorboats, but also to take anything that they brought up and then take it back to shore.
Okay, and this is happening July 11th?
Yeah.
And it's set up in two time slots?
Well, they typically do a morning and an afternoon dive.
Okay.
So if people wanted to help, you know, they're more than welcome to stay for the whole day, but if they just wanted to help for the morning or for the afternoon, and there's you can sign up on our website if you're interested in volunteering, and we'll see who we've got and what they want to help with, and then we'll make sure that everything gets aligned.
And could you give us the website?
Oh, it's Conservation Lac-Brump.
Okay. So many great things happening. Excited. And you've already had some cleanups in April, etc.
Oh, we did for Earth Day. We invited members and community members to join us. And we had 30 volunteers come out. And they collected 1,000 pounds of garbage for Earth Day.
2,000 pounds.
Yeah, that was on the 25th, and we really would like to thank all of the local businesses who provided prizes for the participants.
Nice. It's a community, mm-hmm. yeah, a community mission here. We all need to do our yep. part. And even informing people who come to the area to enjoy, like, hi, did you wash your boat? You know, we yes. need citizens to have their eyes open yep. too. Like, this is your bijou here to safeguard.
Yep.
Speaking of that, do you have set washing stations established?
So Conservation Lac Brome established the first station probably 4 or 5 years ago now at Camping des Arabes.
Mm-hmm.
Last year or the year before, the city took over.
Okay.
And so they are now responsible for it. And the major washing station is just as you approach the split that takes you to Lake Brome, where you go around the lake. So that's the major one, and that's the one okay. that people use. If you are a resident and you have registered your boats, mm-hmm. you can't have them cleaned for free.
Oh, great. Okay.
So if you happen to take your boat away.
So information on washing stations and times and boat stickers, that would be through the town of Brome Lake.
Yes.
Okay, yep. Perfect. Is there anything else you'd like to tell listeners or leave us with?
The big thing that we're really interested now, because I think we've got the monitoring down, all of that is all set up. Blue-green algae is always a concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a concern later in the summer because the water gets warmer. Makes it easier for the cyanobacteria to grow. It also gets shallower, which is kind of a bathtub effect. So we do monitor it, but it's always going to be a concern if the water gets if the water is too warm and there's too much phosphorus. That combination is really what kicks it off. So we can't do much about the weather other than hope.
Right.
We were lucky last year; the water remained fairly high. So whenever the water is high, the chances of the lake overheating are low.
Right.
So
okay. it stays cooler.
You win some and you lose some.
Right. So we do need rain. So all this rain that's been happening, yeah. maybe this is a gift.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think you have an interactive tab on your website that gives the conditions of the lake. Is that mm-hmm. possible?
Yeah.
Okay. So people can go there and they see it's quite consistently updated?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's just a link to the government sites.
Okay, I see. Okay. But hey, thank you. It's easy access for people, so you don't have to dig.
Yeah.
Okay, this is wonderful. So thank you so much for your time, and I hope to see you personally at one of these events.
Excellent.
And really appreciate the fact that you guys are stewards for our beautiful lake. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you to John Joyce, a board member for Conservation Lac Brome, for filling us in on this high season for Brome Lake that is just around the corner. There's so many activities and events on the radar, so go to conservationlb.com for the details and where you can sign up for, per se, the AGM on May 16th, their 25th anniversary on June 20th, and as well, the deep dive that takes place on July 11th. And if you'd like to make sure you stay informed, sign up for their newsletter. We thank everyone who takes part in the cleanups. And if you'd like to volunteer, they're looking for people to run non-motorized watercraft to keep our divers safe, as well as boats, pontoon boats to take people out for rides at the 25th anniversary, and so on. Do get in touch. We wish everyone a wonderful and safe season, and thank you for tuning in to the Township's Daily News Bits, brought to you through the Local Journalism Initiative, funded by the Government of Canada.